KNOM Update News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur, and it's 9:02. A Coast Guard investigation says equipment failure, improper placement of a crewman, and a Bering Sea swell contributed to the crewman's death on a rescue mission in southwest Alaska. Petty Officer 3rd Class Travis Obendorf died December 18th from injuries suffered 5 weeks earlier on the 418-foot cutter Weishi. The Weishi on November 11th prepared to tow a disabled fishing boat to port, but first planned to ferry fishermen to the cutter using one of the cutter's smaller boats. Obendorf rowed ahead of the small boat center console because the cutter had problems mechanically securing a capture line. Investigators say the small boat reached the cutter's stern notch, but a large swell shoved the bow under a capture net. The net slammed Obendorf into the center console. Today, state representatives will vote on a sprawling education bill that deals with everything from school budgets to teacher tenure to the establishment of charter schools. Some of the biggest fights are expected to center around the education funding formula. At a press conference on Thursday, the Democratic minority explained that their major concern is that an increase to the base student allocation, the amount of money a school gets per student enrolled, does not go far enough. Here's Representative Les Guerra of Anchorage.
We've faced 3 years of cuts in the past. This extends 3 more years of cuts. Cuts this coming year, and then bigger cuts the following 2 years when the base student allocation gets smaller.
The House Finance version of the bill spends an extra $225 million on per-pupil funding over the course of 3 years, but some of that could cancel out because of a loss of $25 million in one-time funds. Governor Sean Parnell's proposal adds just over $100 million to the pot of money over the same period of time. Representative David Gutenberg of Fairbanks says neither of those figures are enough to prevent layoffs in the state's biggest school districts.
I think, you know, if you ask them if they take a poke in the eye or a kick in the backside, they'll take whatever they can get over nothing.
The Democrats' proposal cost about $450 million over 3 years. But Republicans in the majority are concerned that a bigger increase than what they are offering could put serious pressure on future budgets. Representative Mia Costello of Anchorage told reporters on Thursday that education is being treated as an exception as other state agencies are being told to keep their budgets flat.
We are still prioritizing education while the rest of state government we are cutting. We've been cutting operating budget of state government so that we can continue to fund education increases.
Costello also argued that their proposal gives an extra boost to urban schools where 80% of Alaska students are enrolled. The House Finance Committee did this by adjusting the education funding formula to weigh the state's larger schools more generously. The existing funding formula gives rural schools extra funds because costs in remote communities are higher. The House is expected to hold a vote on the education bill at the same time a citizens group made up of parents will be rallying on the Capitol steps. The U.S. Senate yesterday ratified two international treaties that Alaska senators say will help crack down on illegal international fishing. One is an agreement with Russia, the European Union, Canada, and a host of smaller countries to restrict fish from using ports if they engage in what's known as IUU fishing. Senator Mark Begich says the practice robs legitimate fishermen of some $23 billion a year.
I know lots of times we talk about illegal, unreported, unregulated. I like to simply call it just pirate fishing. These are people who steal our fish out of our waters and then try to sell them back to us.
A second treaty would create an international organization to regulate fishing in international waters of the North Pacific to protect fish habitat. Senator Lisa Murkowski calls it essential.
Critically important when it comes to our fisheries and our sustainability of our fisheries and how we manage our fisheries. We're trying to play by the rules. We expect others to be doing the same.
The treaties were approved by voice vote. Murkowski says they're the first treaties ratified by the Senate since 2010. In March, the Kobuk Traditional Council passed a resolution opposing a proposed road that would go through the community and head to the nearby Ambler Mining District. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority is pursuing the project to access copper mining operations just over 20 miles west of the Dalton Highway as part of Governor Sean Parnell's Road to Resources program. Kobuk is the first community in the Northwest Arctic Borough to declare its opposition to the road. Six communities in the interior have submitted formal letters of opposition. And on March 12th, the board of directors from the Tanana Chiefs Conference joined them, filing a resolution of its own. John Horner is with the Kobuk Traditional Council and says the community's opposition is based on concerns over the impact the road would have on subsistence. He says exploration by mineral companies in the area has already affected the caribou harvest.
A big part of it has to do with their subsistence lifestyle. In the past few years, since Nova's been up here exploring, we've been having to go further and further to get our fall-time caribou, which we usually get within 3 miles of here.
Kobuk's resolution outlines a series of ecological hazards posed by the project and the copper mining it would facilitate. The document states that Kobuk and the communities they formed an alliance with oppose this iteration of the project. Warner says that might change if it can be demonstrated that the road won't cause damage to the region.
Who knows? We might change our mind, and we might not. But as far as I'm concerned, the native village of Kobuk is opposing the road.
The TCC resolution takes a similar position. It states the tribes must be formally and frequently consulted before any plans are advanced. ADA has held public meetings with communities that would be affected by the road and plans on holding more in the months ahead. But Horner says he and others in Kobuk felt they'd not been told enough about the project's development status or the impacts it would have on subsistence resources like caribou and shefish.
We felt that they weren't giving us much information to begin with.
And that lack of information constitutes its own problem with the project for the Traditional Council. The other communities with resolutions opposing the road are Allakaket, Hughes, Husilla, Alutna, Bettles, and Evansville. A Coast Guard report says poor risk assessment and management were factors that led to the grounding of a Shell Oil drilling rig in the Gulf of Alaska in 2012. The report released yesterday also says Alaska's tax laws influenced the decision to tow the Kobuk to Seattle. Royal Dutch Shell PLC believed the drill vessel would have qualified as taxable property on January 1, 2013, if it was still in Alaska waters. The Kobuk broke away from its tow vessel in late December 2012. Multiple attempts to maintain tow lines fail, and the vessel grounded off Isikakalik Island. Damage to the Kobuk played a role in Shell's decision to forego Arctic offshore drilling in 2013. The Coast Guard report says sufficient evidence exists for other authorities to consider penalties. And looking in on the price of gold in New York at this hour, gold is up $18.20 an ounce to $1,306 an ounce. Silver is up 24 cents an ounce to $20.16 an ounce, and zinc is at 90 cents a pound. Unofficially, it is 21 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning.